hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
A very good evening to all listeners. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And this month I've been talking about parents and the children, and that's why we every evening for this month, those on the broadcast list, we send the message, the prayer points, the prayer points for the parents to pray, how to pray for the children and all that. For those who are not part, you can still send a message. I'll add you to the broadcast list. Yeah, my number is 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. So this month we are talking about the children and the parents and what is happening in the world and why it's important that we get these things really serious, because the world as we know it is definitely not the same as we knew it some time back. This generation is something else. There's no generation that is really, really, really anti-God in almost everything being done now. Good is bad, bad is good. And the children are caught in between this troubled system. For those in Ghana, well, we would say ours is a little better than those out there in the West, because theirs is even something else, where children are really exposed to all sorts of dangers out. But I believe as parents, wherever we are, listeners online in various countries listening to Issues of Life, we will do what we have to do. Prayer, there's no limit irrespective of where we are. We can still pray and God will hear us. And we do as the parents have to do, doing your best in bringing them up in the fear of God and all that. But praying is one key thing. Sometimes people just don't take it serious, but we've gotten to the point where we have to put in all effort and seriousness in praying for our children. Oh yes, the woke madness that is blowing over the world, the wokeism, as some call it, is just becoming too serious, where they are pushing all sorts of things. Ultimately, the devil is after the souls of these children. Yes, catch them young and they'll be yours forever, as they say. But we shouldn't allow our children to fall into this trap of being caught young. All right, so tonight, let's talk about the news first, and then we get into the main talk. So this week, the weather has been really, a lot of strange things happening. Over 1,000 dead after quake strikes Marrakesh in Morocco. This happened this morning. I saw the notice. It happened yesterday, last night. So it's quite a serious issue there in Morocco. We have 2 dead after Hong Kong's heaviest rain in at least 140 years. You can imagine how serious it is. 140 years. Wow. Then Greece. Flood scale at least 1 as country grapples with totally extreme weather phenomenon. It's extreme weather phenomenon because in the last few weeks, Greece was battling with serious fires. Massive fires. And now, from fire to water, extremes indeed. The fires too. A friend has been doing some analysis, and the major countries, Spain, Greece, part of the US, where they've had serious fire issues in the last few weeks, he analyzed and he realized all those communities are very strong with LGBT movements. So it's like, wow, that's interesting. So we have the next that says, Bulgaria, Turkey, and Greece streets turn to rivers in deadly floods. Then Brazil states rails under West cyclone disaster. Yesterday I saw one that says hurricane, what is the name? I mean, I've gotten the new hurricane that's moving towards the U.S. It doesn't happen that often, but moving from category 1 to category 5 within a day, it happened. I mean, just is that it's rare. It's not too, it doesn't happen often where you have such swings of 1 to 5 within 24 hours. That's really extreme. Okay. Then we go to Nigeria, where you have seminary students burned to death after failed kidnapping in Nigeria. Assailants in an area of Nigeria where Fulani terrorists have operated freely burned a Catholic seminary student to death Thursday night in a failed kidnapping attempt, according to sources. The priest, Reverend Emmanuel Okolo, and his assistants managed to escape, but the fire killed the seminary student Nadam Danlani, 25 years, according to the report. You know, the Nigerian issue is something. It's really something. If you read some of the reports, the northern part of Nigeria, to be a Christian is really serious. So it's like, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. I mean, there's nothing like in between. No. You have to stand. If you are really a Christian, you're a Christian. You know, this is what it, I mean, it amazes me when you hear some Christians talk in Ghana. Oh, serious. It's like, you know, the lack of knowledge about some things makes people just be ignorant and gullible to whatever they hear. So you hear people tell you that we serve the same God. No, we don't serve the same God. If we did, then there will be no need to kill one another, or like kill one group because they don't believe in what you believe in. And that's the basic point. I mean, clearly that means we are not on the same platform. We are not. So we go to Indonesia, where you have Muslims halt church worship service in Indonesia, and the police call it misunderstanding. I mean, what is the misunderstanding about this? If you are worshiping yours, I'm worshiping mine. What is the need to come and interrupt with mine? But you see, Indonesia is one of, I mean, the leading population wise, the largest, I mean, Islamic country. So the Christians there really have a lot to battle in terms of their being the small minority, extremely, extremely small numbers there. It's really difficult to really stand in. You see, there are places where if you're a Christian, the way we know Christianity to be here, I mean, in Ghana, with our freedom of worship and there's no restriction, we can go to church freely, hold Bible freely, you know, on radio, Christians praying in tongues and all that. I was reading one report somewhere. The person was shocked that we have, even people can pray on radio in Ghana. I mean, because in his country, it's like there's not even one Christian station, full Christian station like we have Spirit FM. No, they don't have it there in their country. And even those there in terms of normal, where they have some hours for Christian programming and things, it's like you won't be hearing it like you are hearing here, people praying in tongues, all night prayer meetings in tongues, all that, no. See, so we really have something to cherish as Christians in Ghana, and it's so valuable that we should really guard it and guard it well. Oh yes, we should guard it and guard it well. Then we have pastor shot after refusing to recite Islamic profession of faith, and this is in Pakistan. So a pastor was shot and wounded by hardline Muslims on Sunday evening in Jaranwala, Pakistan, a week after Islamic slogans were written on the walls of the church building, according to sources. Reverend Eliza Sidhu, pastor of Presbyterian Church in Kukranwala village in the Kwanwala area of disgrace in Pakistan, said the assailants ordered him to recite the creed, Islamic creed, before shooting him. He was returning home with an assistant after pastoral visits to church members when two bearded men stopped his motorcycle near a bus stop. He said one of the attackers pulled out a pistol and asked me to recite the Kalima, the Islamic Kalima, that's a profession of faith. Pastor Sidhu stated in the first information report filed at the Sada police station, when I refused and instead started to recite the Apostles' Creed. Wow, lovely. The man opened fire, resulting in a bullet wound on the upper half of my chest, on shoulder area. Assailants fled after the attack. Fortunately, he didn't die, and we pray for a speedy healing and recovery from his wounds. Then we have Mexico's highest court declares abortion bans are an act of violence against pregnant persons. Okay. You see, they are even choosing their words carefully. Pregnant persons. So they won't say pregnant women. In order not to offend these people. Pregnant persons. Okay. Because now we are in a world where you can be told that men can get pregnant. And you know, sometimes when you watch some of those reports and you see learned people, I mean top medical experts, all sorts of professionals, and they are being interviewed, and the basic fundamental question is asked, who is a woman? And you see them fumbling and it's serious. Just because we've decided to redefine everything regarding gender and sexuality and all that. So a woman, which is supposed to be a simple thing, is a headache for people. Who is a woman? And they will be struggling because they fear that if they say a female, born female, directly like that, that means they are offending some men who say they are women. And because they don't want to offend, then that means who is a woman? Like a student struggling in an exam room, who is a woman? U.S. Senate committee, under Congress or Senate, their committee, when they are appointing, appointment committee, and you see the last time Supreme Court Court Justice, who was being interviewed before her appointment, like being elevated to the Supreme Court, she couldn't answer. Who is a woman? The woman struggled. Pass here. Oh, no. It's terrible. This world is something. All right. So we go to Ireland. This is my last news item for tonight. And it's good news because I've been advocating for some of these things already on this program. For those who have listened to digital parenting and all that. Irish parents take action on smartphones amid soaring concerns over children's mental health. Parents in a town just 45 minutes outside of Dublin have banded together to enforce a smartphone ban for children until they finish elementary school. It was just the striking results of the rising anxiety, depression, and everything we noticed of having a mobile phone, especially among young kids. Justina Flynn, a clinical psychologist and resident of Greystones, with three children in school, told Fox and Friends on Tuesday, the support this town got was incredible. The parents' associations at eight schools across the town of Greystones in County Wicklow decided earlier this summer to restrict smartphone access for their children amid concerns of rising anxiety and potential exposure to adult material, The Guardian reported. The agreement, entered into jointly by all groups in a rare show of unity among so many groups, would see children restricted from phones at home, in school, and elsewhere until they reach middle school and high school. Schools had already banned or restricted device use on their grounds, but the parents decided to take things a step further. Quote, I think the access the kids have to internet, or internet having access to our children, we don't know what's going on there, unquote, Flynn explained, saying she hopes the restriction extends through middle school and high school as well. the brain is not developed for children. Their use of phone is associated with anxiety, depression, obesity, sleeping disorders, and many other health problems, she added. Reports released earlier this year from the United Nations found that smartphones are distracting students from learning and increasing risks to their privacy at the same time, the BBC reported. Additionally, the report found that students performed better academically once smartphones were removed from schools. Smartphones provide distraction, disruption, bullying, and abuse, and can be detrimental to learning, according to the British Department for Education, which suggested that teachers consider restricting or prohibiting mobile phones to reduce these risks. Then we have Manos Antonis, the author of a 2023 Global Education Monitor report, insisted that only technology that supports learning has a place in school. He suggested that parents not shield their children entirely from technology, but that a discussion about the types of technology in the learning environment needs to occur. Irish Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, who lives near Greystones, supports the policy and has called for nationwide implementation. He goes on to say, we regulate food and drink and medicines. Notley wrote, we have extensive child protections in place in so many areas of our society. We are now going to do it in the digital space. See, this is very good because these parents have raised an important concern. They've seen that it's affecting their children. You know, so children, I mean, class 3, 4, 5, 6, I mean, having their own phones, and it's affecting because, you know, even adults have become addicted to phones. Even adults who are supposed to have a much stronger level of self-control and being able to really discern and know when and how and what and all that. Even adults have become, look at, I mean, you walk the streets and see people nearly falling into gutters and people hitting trees and people just bumping into people, all because even they can't take their eyes off the phones. So, you see, there's this extreme crisis happening in the world regarding addiction to phones and the dangers thereof for these children. So when these parents can agree that it's time to save their children, it's the right thing to do. You know, some think, oh, if you can afford it. I mean, I talked to this friend outside in the US, and she was telling me how they refuse to, they've not bought phones for their children, even though in their school it's allowed. So once, I mean, the senior girl, the first child, was complaining. All her friends, I think, they were moving from one level to another level, and so they were saving, exchanging numbers, and everybody like saving their numbers on phones, and she alone, she didn't have a phone. The mother told her, take a notebook and write the addresses. Later, when you get a phone, you save the numbers. You see, it sounds old school. I mean, oh, everybody is saving numbers straight on the phone. You are now writing, you have an address book, physical address book in your hand, writing numbers. Ah, who does that? I mean, that's how the world will see you. I mean, you people are well-to-do, you can afford to buy it and all that. So why are you not buying it? This is, I mean, she told me, people keep asking, but you people can afford it. Why are you not buying phones for your children? You see, this is the world we are in, where people are just following the system because everybody else is doing it. So other people's children are having smartphones, so it's also right for their children to also have smartphones. So they won't really analyze the risks and the dangers that they are exposing their children to. So they think you, the one who is protecting your children and trying to avoid the dangers associated with these things, you are rather in error, and they are rather progressive, and they are modernized and exposed. You see, so it takes a lot of strong will as a parent to really stand your ground if you decide to go that way, because even your own friends and siblings, it's like everybody, as if you are a bad parent if everybody is doing it and you are not allowing your children to do it. But you see, when you have a group of eight parent association in schools coming together to agree to do such a thing, it shows how these parents are level-headed and really can appreciate the danger their children are exposed to. It's a fact, when academics performance and all improves, when there's no digital devices these children have access to. You see, so the thing is causing harm. I mean, we should stop deceiving ourselves. The thing is causing harm. So I just get so angry when I hear the politicians promise they are going to supply all students with smart tablets and smartphones and all those things. I ask myself, do they understand what they are talking about? Of what use would these things be to them? Can you imagine with these children already getting hooked to sports betting and addiction to various porn and all these things, and now you are giving them devices officially in school? When it slides, those in the boarding house, when it slides out, I mean, who is going to, what really are you going to, is the house parent or house master going to seize everybody's phone? Because, you see, we just promise and say things without analyzing the risks that are associated with it. You see, so you have a system where if, let's assume the government has the means to afford it, and indeed they are really going to do it, those who kick against it, you can see you can imagine the pressure. Hey, you people are old school, you people are this, oh, you don't want a progressive move, you don't want your children to be knowledgeable. Forgetting that, that is not what makes a child knowledgeable. Rather, that's something that rather makes it difficult for a child to learn and do well. We think devices will help them to do well, but it's rather the reverse. It doesn't help them to do well. No, it doesn't. It rather distracts them. It rather makes it difficult for them to concentrate. It makes it difficult for them psychologically. You have children and teenagers and all falling into depression because of devices. There are various scientific reports that cast a very negative shadow on these things. So, I mean, parents, you know, this month, as you say, we are talking about parenting and children and all that. It's one key thing parents have to be careful about, because you see, though we've addressed it in digital parenting in previous editions and all that, other years back, but let's be careful as parents. The fact that you can afford does not mean you should get it for them. And you see, so you have to call them. If you have to call them, then it should be a phone that can be called, but not a smartphone that can be used to get into the internet. You see, and some have created a problem for themselves. So now, if even you are giving a young phone to your child that's just for call purposes, it's like, you can imagine. Some will say that, hey, they won't accept it, they don't like it, their friends will laugh at them. And you see, we are allowing these systems to rather control us instead of we controlling the systems. And that's where the danger lies. When technology controls us instead of we controlling the technology, then we are in trouble. Yes. Now, humanity is becoming slaves to technology instead of the technology rather being a tool in our hands to perform and to do things. And parents should do anything and everything possible. You see, for instance, a woman, a mother sitting in church or somewhere in a car or whatever, bus, whatever, public place, and then the child is crying, and then they'll give a phone to the child as a way of, allowing the child to get engaged, to stop talking or crying and all that. Forgetting that is the beginning of the addiction. So they think they are solving a problem, but they are rather creating a very big problem ahead, because now that child is learning the fact that I can only be controlled by this device. And because of the color, and then, they have the smart games. We think we are helping ourselves, but we are not. I mean, the reports are there. You read the scientific reports that even the screen time, ideally, now psychologists, are proposing that the ideal screen time should not be more than 2 hours for a child per day. Should not be more than, because they are seeing the dangers, how the brain is being affected by a longer exposure to this color, the colors on the screen, the smartphone, the tablets, the laptop, the TV. So you see, we should do everything to control this. But instead of controlling, we think, when I take it, and also the monkey time. You see, then we are building a character in the child. It becomes a habit. The child now knows that this is my thing. I need this to stop crying. So that mother has now set a trajectory of the child will stop crying. Anytime the child is crying, give the phone to the child. That's what is going to engage the child. And now you are setting this child on the path of digital slavery, digital addiction, where this child will always want it to keep quiet or, be at peace, concentrate. So we should be very wary of allowing the systems to control us. And I believe for those who do these things, they realize that they are at peace eventually. They will be at peace in the long term. You look back and realize there's a difference between those who controlled their children regarding usage of devices and those who didn't. Because the reports are scary and worrying, because those who are having uncontrolled access to these devices are going to have a certain social problem, a lot of social problems, communicating with their children, communicating with other of their friends and mates, and depression, all sorts of things. A whole lot. I believe one of the days, we'll do the digital parenting again, and we'll be addressing those things in further details. So for now, it will look like, they are trendy, they are more current, they have their devices. Yes, we can brag about it, we can be happy about it. But years down the line, it will rather be a negative thing in their lives, because it would have created a serious danger, a serious path along their growing into their youthful age, into their adulthood. And some of these things, the effects can be long-lasting when parts of the brains are altered based on how things were done in growing up. So parents, let's be careful. Anyway, so I'll be back after this song.
Sacrifice, for I am crucified with Christ. Hello, this is Heaven. May I help you?
Yeah, I think I found a flaw in your manual.
You mean the Bible?
Yes. You know that section that says, "So in everything, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you"?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12?
Sure. Now, when you say everything, does that mean everything, or are there exceptions?
What is it about the word everything that you don't understand, sir?
Well, I have this really obnoxious brother-in-law, and I would love to just take some chicken feathers and some hot chocolate syrup and...
Sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Surely there's got to be an exception to that rule.
Trust me, sir.
How about a loophole?
There's a very good reason why there's no exception in that section.
I don't think whoever wrote that ever met my brother-in-law.
Regardless, sir, that section is a part of God's standard for how we are to treat others. We can't apply His standard only when it's convenient.
It's easy to think our circumstances are unusual, but are you willing to obey God even when it's tough? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Hey, I hear you won the chance to have God answer any question you ask.
Yes, I did.
What are you going to ask?
Why do your shoestrings only break when you're in a hurry? You know how that is, you're late for an interview and...
Wait, that's it?
Yeah.
You can ask God anything. Why don't you ask Him something profound, like, what's the meaning of life?
Oh, I thought about that, but that was answered through King Solomon in the Bible.
Oh, well then how about, why do bad things happen to good people?
The book of Job answers that. I wanted to ask something the Bible doesn't address.
What about, what does God want you to do?
The book of John, chapter 6. I tell you, with all the answers the Bible has, reading it is like having God right there in your living room. The thing I didn't see addressed was shoestrings.
Oh, okay. By the way, stressful situations cause you to use excessive force. Thus, you break your shoestrings.
Fine. Now I have to come up with another question.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
All right. Shoestring is what's important for him. Okay, welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM, and for those online, greetings wherever you are. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life. I've been talking about parents and the children. This month we are discussing this very important issue of helping our children, I mean protecting them, because they are exposed to all sorts of things. It's amazing how the world is turning up. You see some things and you just wonder. So these people pushing this, don't they care about the harm this is doing to their children? And you realize that they don't care at all. No. They even roping more children to fall into these things. One last point regarding the technology, the phone and things I was talking about. The amazing thing is, the developers of these devices, like Steve Jobs, when he did iPhone, and he didn't allow his children. Can you imagine the iPhone where he can even have customized editions or models for the children? He didn't give them access to these devices till they were of age. And you ask yourself, why that? And it's not the only one. You read about it, some of the reports, the engineers, the top people in these gadget companies, they don't allow their children to use the things they are producing because they know the addiction. They know the effects on their children. So they are protecting their children, and the people they are selling these things to are buying it for their children gladly and bragging about it. And as for my child, he has iPhone 14, iPhone this, iPhone. This generation is something else. Because you see, our values are just modeled around the things we possess and how modern it is. So you see how people are doing everything to get always the latest phone, the latest. I mean, we become slaves to these things. Slaves. So the technology is rather driving us, and it's like pulling us along. We are slaves. So everything technology, we are just running behind it, and parents are running behind, and they are pulling along their children to follow them. So it's happening. Not long ago I was driving somewhere in the morning and I saw a little child going to school with earphones in the years and holding a phone and listening, smartphone, walking by the roadside, I felt sad because, you see, a child going to school in the morning, holding a smartphone with earphones and listening to, or most likely, music. And if you go and check, the music clearly will know, I mean, whatever music it is. But, you see, it's a child starting the day that way, going to school and holding a phone, and you ask yourself, what are the parents doing to this child? What are the parents doing to this child? Be it whether, I mean, he's hiding it from them or whatever. But you see, there's something about parenting that ultimately the blame, ultimate blame goes to the parents. Ultimately. But this evening I'm talking specifically about the protecting our children is what we are talking about in the last editions. But tonight, focusing on the Word of God, getting how to get them used, interested, and hooked to the Word of God, whatever means possible. Other religions do everything possible to imbibe their doctrines in their children, their books into their children's lives. But when it comes to Christians, it's like, not all, of course, but largely Christians are a bit more relaxed. When the child grows, I mean, they will understand. So we just leave things to chance with the hope that when the child comes of age, they themselves will decide and eventually they would fall in love with the Word of God. But you see, years back, you could comfortably play that game, that gambling of allowing your child to grow, and then when the child is of age, secondary school and things, I mean, comfortably, I mean, you could have played those games years back, but not in 2023 and this time we are in, because the attack on the Christian is at an all-time high. So you can imagine the attack on a child. What they are being exposed to is an onslaught, like a real attack on them. So if we cannot get them change their mindset and their thinking in a certain way now that they are young, and we say, oh, when they grow, by the time they grow, their minds are seriously polluted to the point where they will question the Word of God. I don't know whether I said it a few weeks or so, that a friend, I think I said it, yeah, where a friend was telling me this lady that she knows personally, and like went outside the country with the child, now brings the child home back to Ghana for holidays, and the child, I mean, when like family home, so they are morning devotion, they are going to do morning devotion, and this child is now questioning the Bible, a little child in primary school questioning the Bible. That is just a myth, just a bunch of, you know, stories. Nothing godly, like nothing about God. It's not a God thing as we claim. You see, so this child was believing these things in Ghana, was going to Sunday school and all that, travels outside to the U.S. I didn't ask how long, but it's like still a child, comes back home for holidays. And now this child, the mind has been changed at school, because the child has been exposed to all sorts of indoctrination, the liberal, wokeism, whatever, and this child is now questioning the Word of God. Can you imagine if the same child continues in that line through the junior high, senior high, gets to university? By the time this child finishes university, can you imagine what he would have turned to? If care is not taken, and the parents don't really sit up to do something to intervene and stop what is happening in the child's life, that child will eventually not even believe in God again. Because, you see, there's an agenda to really teach in some countries, in some states and in some districts. They are really out there attacking God, the God factor. So the children are actually being taught, and it's running through some of the universities. They become so liberal that now anything you write that sides with the existence of God and all that you are penalized by professors for. You know, so they are enforcing the liberalism and anti-God thing, even in some universities out there. And teachers are, it looks like now there's been an agenda to train teachers who are pushing this liberal agenda in some of these schools, institutions, states, and all that. So there are some children who are being really taught in school the anti-God thing. It's really being taught fully. You see, so you see, teachers have a strong, for those who are parents, you'd have known by now that children really believe in their teachers. Children trust their teachers because they will tell you that teacher said, there are instances where maybe there's a mistake in an assignment or something, and you are trying to correct. A child will tell you, teacher said, so it, I mean, the fact that teacher has said it, it must be correct. So even when the parent is rather right, the parent will struggle to correct the error that the teacher has made. Because in the eyes of the child, the teacher is correct. You see, so this imposition of knowledge by teachers into the children, if it is the negative one, woe unto your child. So this is happening out there. Children are losing their faith in the classroom. I mean, one pastor was complaining seriously about how his son went to university in the U.S. And by the time the son finished the first year, the son virtually was not a Christian. You see, so there is a problem. That's why we are talking about something like this, that we should address the issue before it gets out of hand. And that's the word of God is under attack. We should all understand. We should know by now that it's happening. But parents have a key role in ensuring their children imbibe the word of God in various ways. I'm talking about a few things, suggestions you can do. It's, if you can do it, to help them, because one is get, if you can get audio Bible. I mean, I don't know how I can get it to those who want to copy. Maybe you have to find a way of arranging. I mean, bring a pen drive and leave it to the studio, the station, and maybe come for it later or something. You see, there's one set I got, the key Bible stories, the Bible characters and all. So we are talking of David, Saul, Joshua, Abraham, all those major characters in the Bible, where like it's been read like so in the children form. So those are for much younger children. And I mean, it's very, even adults, when you listen to it, it's very, you learn. So it's like MP3. So you, as you, you see, when you have it, you are playing it to the children. For those who have younger kids, the younger ones, hand as they are listening, is the word of God being taught, the word of God. You see, so, and you see, I noticed this when my kids were much younger, and when you play it, they are very interested in it, extremely interested. They have serious attention when they start listening, because you see, they've heard about some of the stories, maybe Sunday school or at home they've read it or they've heard. So when now it's being narrated in that way, it's very, I mean, captivating. They like it. You see, but the word of God is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is, so hearing the word of God has its own advantage. That's one. But let me read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then we see the importance of what we are discussing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 6. My emphasis starts from verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. First question, are we teaching our children diligently the word of God at home? Or we are leaving it to the Sunday school, in churches, the teachers to teach them? How do we know they will teach them diligently? Are the teachers themselves correct, spiritually correct and all that? Well, it's a gamble. But you see, these are things which we have to do and not relegate it or delegate it to others to do for us. We, because parent, I mean, there's an there's one research I read some time back where the research highlights the effect, the psychological effects on a child when parents are role models or parents are teaching them or parents are talking about the word of God. And interestingly, it even highlights that mothers have a stronger influence. So when a mother is addressing the word of God with the children even pick it with a different attitude, like the influence is even stronger on them than even the father. It's amazing. But you can, one day I'll talk about this aspect where if you read 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and then you take notes, when the Holy Spirit taught me, I realized and analyzed that, and it's amazing. The very bad kings and the good kings, they will mention the name, and the mother's name is. It was they being good kings or bad kings, it was the mothers who taught them, who influenced them. Mothers have a serious influence when it comes to spiritual things. The father is the head of the home, yes. But see, we shouldn't forget mothers have a certain connection with the children by virtue of, they birth them and all that. So mothers have that role to help a lot in this aspect. So that's how I teach them diligently. See, diligently is not different from just teaching them. Like, diligent, that means serious effort is put in. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. Mm-hmm. And when thou walkest by the way, or now modern day, when thou drivest with them in the car, or sittest with them in the car, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, morning and evening. Let me read the verse 7 again, Deuteronomy 6:7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, or when thou drivest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Even this is being done now by some Jews. Some Jewish homes, they print some of, like, this Sheddah. They call it this Sheddah or something. The Deuteronomy chapter says, the Lord our God is one God and all that. They print it and other things and paste it on their walls in the house and all that. But you see, the emphasis of this Deuteronomy chapter 6 that I've read is, we should do everything we can as parents to teach the children the word of God. I've mentioned, playing audio Bible. There's the children one, as I talked about. And then the normal adult one, like, but it's still, it's the dramatized and all. So, you see, when I'm playing it, taking them to school or picking, the car inside is very quiet. They are listening. You see, and it's getting deep into your spirit, man. Because, you see, it's hearing the word of God. So there's nothing like hearing the audio Bible. You can't compare it to anything. It's getting into you directly. You see, so as they are listening, then they hear something. Okay, so why? Then they have a question. Then I'll pause, and then they ask the question. Then we discuss it. You see, let's make room for them to discuss the word of God with us. Let's discuss it with them. Are they reading it? Are they doing their quiet time at home? You see, parents, we have the time now. It's like there's no time, sorry. So we rush in the morning. This one is going to work. This one, so they are late for school. So, but we have to. See, I know some families where because the morning schedule is really tight in Accra, they have to leave home very, very, very early and all that. It's rather after school in the evening, before they sleep, that they do the reading and the quiet time, whatever, with them. That's how they, but they are doing it. They found a way of going around it. You see, so we should make time. Discuss, you pick a topic, a character, a verse, you discuss with them. Let's do something to get them interested in the Word of God. You see, because if we let them lose interest in the Word of God, we are in trouble. We are in serious trouble, because even adults, supposed Christians, are not even reading the Bible. Adults are not doing quiet time again. Adults are so busy. It's like the Word of God is becoming obsolete in their lives. It's like old school. But quiet time can never be old school. No, it can never be old school. So you see, if even adults are struggling to read the Bible, how much more children, if they are not in taught or indoctrinated to really get used to it, for the love of it to follow. You see, we should let it be part of them. We should let it be a culture in them that when they wake up in the morning, they must read their Bible before they eat. They must do their quiet time before they eat. And we should talk about it with them. Ask them questions. Discuss with them. Do they understand what? There should be a way that parents are playing a direct role in the lives of their children regarding the Word of God. We shouldn't leave it to chance that, oh, when they go to school, Wednesday, they'll do worship at school, so that will cover for it. Or they'll do devotion at school, so that should cover for it. No. We should do what we have to do at home. The rest is top up. But the primary one should be what we parents are helping them to do at home. Because if we don't protect them with the Word of God now, the wind that is blowing is so strong that by the time you realize your child has no interest in the Word of God again, and now you try to bring it, and they will be giving you reasons why it's an old school book, reasons why it cannot be trusted, reasons why, and they will tell you it's a white man's book, they brought it to deceive us. I mean, even adults, some adults are believing these lies. You see, so we should really put in much effort. We should, as parents, we should do everything possible to ensure that these children do not lose an interest in the Word of God. No, we should do everything possible, because the devil is really attacking the system. Oh yes, the devil is attacking the system. But we should not allow him a foothold in our homes. We should draw the line and say, they're not my home. We should do what we have to do. And I believe as we put in the needed effort, God will help us and guide us along the way in how to do these things. So let's end here this evening. God willing, next week we'll be continuing. And as I said, the 30-day prayer for the parents, for the children, prayer points, and every evening we send those on the broadcast list. For those who maybe you are not in the broadcast list and you want to, you can just send your name and hi to my WhatsApp, 0244-638-757, 0244-638-757, and I'll add it to the WhatsApp group. And as we continue, this evening was day 9, so day 9 was sent. So every evening, praying for our children, because it's very important. I believe you've been blessed this evening. I'm Eben, the program Spirit 88.3 FM. And this is recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group Spirit Issues. And you can download and listen to it again. Greetings to the listeners. Bright sent a message. Okay, Bright Odonko, greetings to you. Okay, thanks for listening. And yeah, we have Ivan says interested in the audio Bible for the children. So I think for that one, let's do it this way. I'll figure out something. I'll think about it and say, God willing, next week we look at how we can get the audio Bible for the children, maybe pen drive, the children, we bring the pen drive to the studio or whatever. I'll figure out something and we'll talk about it, God willing, next week. So good night and God bless you.
Hello, this is Heaven. May I help you?
Yeah, I think I found a flaw in your manual.
You mean the Bible?
Yes. You know that section that says, "So in everything, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you"?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12?
Sure. Now, when you say everything, does that mean everything, or are there exceptions?
What is it about the word everything that you don't understand, sir?
Well, I have this really obnoxious brother-in-law, and I would love to just take some chicken feathers and some hot chocolate syrup and...
Sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Surely there's got to be an exception to that rule.
Trust me, sir.
How about a loophole?
There's a very good reason why there's...
You're listening to the New Spirit FM.